Welcome to The Primal Journey. I'm your host, Will Winston, and I feel grateful to be here with you today. I've got a special guest with me, someone in the community who is having an impact on people's lives. I think he's changing families. I think he's helping people move through their career paths. I think he's helping people make change in their lives. He's made himself available all throughout the day to anybody who wants to show up and push through barriers. I'm pleased to have Mike Wolf with me today. Mike, welcome to The Primal Journey.
Well, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. And again, just really excited.
So am I.
To have you here.
This is awesome. This is really exciting.
It always takes me like a minute to get settled into this. It's something about like once you hit the record button, you know, everything seems so natural beforehand. Then all of a sudden people are listening and I get a little bit shorter breath, but that just takes a few seconds.
I look at it. Like, hey, this is my first ever podcast. So this will be my best podcast I've ever done.
Well,
so I feel like that's a win, right?
It is a win. And
my worst podcast I've ever done. Okay, cool.
Well, you know, what we'll talk about today, the journey that I've been on, I want to learn more about the journey that you're currently on.
Yeah.
But in this process of me getting to where I am today, I've gone through this several times, dozens of times with multiple people. This is the fourth episode, though, that we've actually syndicated and put onto Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So as I think about my progression in podcasting, it's just getting better and better with every attempt that I make. And I used to be a guy who would have been too fearful to do something like this, you know, because, it is a little bit outside my comfort zone to sit here and get mic'd up and say, you know, this is what I believe in and I'm passionate about it. But at this point in my life at 42, there's no more time to hold back. Right. And I'm at a point where I went through a pretty tough decade in my 30s, where, you know, I wasn't making choices in alignment with the guy that I wanted to be. It wasn't until I hit 40, it sounds cliche, that I just kind of had that realization that, hey, man, we're running out of time. We got to start doing things a little bit differently. And to have you sitting here, you're a big part of that process as far as where I am today in my life. And I know it's not just me, because when I joined Burn Bootcamp in the winter of last year, I quickly learned so much about the importance of community and what it does to myself as far as making me push through barriers, making me learn and share information with other people, having other people hold me accountable. You've got a formula at Burn that just keeps people wrapped in it and wanting to get better. So I want to know more about that today, but really, I don't know much about you other than the fact that you are my age. You left corporate America, and here we are, Burn Bootcamp. And last winter when we first started speaking, you told me, you know, you're doing the fitness thing. Now you want to go for the nutrition thing. And you said you had big things coming. And so now when I get on Instagram, Project Lean Nation everywhere on my Instagram, and I love it. You're doing a great job with that. In fact, when I told people, of course, I was bragging that I had Mike Wolf coming here today to talk with me. They're like, oh, is that the bald guy, you know, who's on Instagram all the time? I'm like, yes, that's the guy.
So he sells his face on Instagram. Yes.
So keep doing it. It's working, man. You're building that awareness. But tell me, man, how did we get here?
Yeah, I appreciate it. First of all, call out on like the talking, right? And even doing this right here, stepping out of a comfort zone. It's extremely out of my comfort zone as well. But one thing I've recognized is like sometimes when you come on and do things like this, where you talk on Instagram or wherever it's at, and you say something and you're uncomfortable, there's like that one person, even if it's just one, but sometimes a lot more, that like takes what you say and it changes their day, their week, their life. So we got to put ourselves out there and do that. So I that's what I always tell myself before I say something goofy or something motivational. I'm like, somebody's going to get something from this.
Yes.
Well,
let me tell you, that's what's driving me. Yeah. Because it took me hearing it from another person.
Right.
And it was just one or two sentences, and it was just framed a different way, where all of a sudden it was that light bulb moment where you felt the burden of responsibility come upon you that you needed to bear. You felt, you know, the fact that you needed to start to listen to your conscious voice inside saying, do better, make change. Like these things come to the surface, but it takes someone to give you that perspective. And he's not here today, but Cameron Tricky, whom you haven't met, he was that guy for me.
I've heard him on the podcast.
Complete stranger. Yeah. Met him 2 years ago at a party that someone else invited me to.
Right.
We just got connected. We spoke that night, and what he was saying made sense to me. You know, he's a farmer. He's a wine sommelier. He's from South Africa. He just had a whole different upbringing than me. He had a whole different mindset than me.
Yeah.
And so I just made sure that I got his phone number. And then about 6 months later, I just said, you know what? I remember that guy and I enjoyed chatting with him. So we met up and here we are, you know, and he's at his, he's on his journey. I'm on mine. Yep. But it took him to get me here. So I'm grateful for that. So it can have a big impact when you hear it from somebody.
Yeah.
At the right time.
Yeah. What was the question, though?
Question was from corporate America. How did we get to entrepreneurship? You know, doing your thing.
I think just kind of calling out like what makes me, like maybe is how this happened. Like just to be, you know, honest, like, and you know this from working out with me and being on the floor, like I'm probably the most competitive person you've ever met. And if I'm not, show me that person. I'll argue with him until he gives up.
I sense like, that for sure.
I just enjoy it. I'm not competing. I love to win. But I'm not competing to beat people. Like I've never competed to beat somebody. That's not the goal. The competition is internal. The competition is like a game I play with myself that holds myself to a standard and something that I take a lot of pride in. I mean, I time how long it takes me to drive to Burn Boot Camp Mechanicsville. And I know if I don't hit the exit in Mechanicsville 16 minutes into my drive, I'm not going to meet my 18 minute goal. Like, so the competitive nature in me is like, I can't tame it. It's that level. And I've always had that. And you combine that with, I also just really love seeing people break through, man. Like I was at CarMax for 23 years. So somebody got a promotion, made more money, sold a car. Like it just motivated me so much. And you combine those two loves and you start throwing in fitness and wellness. And like I realized like my passion wasn't used cars, right? My passion was health and wellness and helping people accomplish things like that. So that's what kind of started getting me away from the corporate America. Jessica and I had an opportunity to open up 2 Burn Boot Camps. I had no idea it'd be full-time. I thought it'd be part-time, like kind of the HR person, maybe show up at the gym and work out. And obviously that changed really quickly when I realized like my passion for like growing a business was there. But then like the opportunity to help people, and you could see like almost instantly, you jump on the floor, you work out next to somebody, they achieve something, you achieve something. And it's like this, you said like, you step out of your comfort zone, but that first person that says, man, well, I did this today because of you. You're like, that. I need more of that. And like, I would go back to CarMax the next day and I'm like, man, it's not the same feeling. Like,
well,
it's not the same thing.
You talk about feeling, you know, working out in a group environment, putting yourself in stressful situations, getting that heart rate going. You're talking about a cascade of hormones.
Yeah.
That's what's beautiful about it. That's what people are chasing.
Yeah.
Right? Because... Yeah. I'm leaving my house at 5:05 a.m. trying to make sure I'm there right on time.
Yep.
You know, I'm a little bit grumpy. I'm not fully with it, not fully alert. And then 5:15 comes and there's no negotiating on that. Just the camp starts. And so you're kind of thrown into this. The cortisol levels are elevated. Next thing you know, the adrenal glands are pumping. You've got endorphins flowing. You're busting through beers and you get done and it's been 45 minutes. And you've got this concoction of stress and adaptive hormones working in harmony that just gives you that elevated feeling that you can't get anywhere else, you know, and seeing your friends and they really feel like family members now every single morning, that gets the serotonin going, right? Yeah. I mean, you're seeing people that you care for, you know, and you're breaking through all these barriers together. And, you know, it's no accident to why we feel so good, right? And
you know what's crazy? Like you talk about the 5:05. Well, people have that same feeling at 6:05, 7:05, 8:05. They come from work and they get to the gym at 5:30. They all walk in the same way you walked in. And like, that's what's so cool about trainers, our opportunity is like, we get to provide that energy and that motivation the second you walk in. Like you've never walked into the gym at 5:05. And when I'm there, right? What's it like? I'm like, what's up,
Will?
Ready
to go.
Let's
go.
Yeah. And like, cause I know like you did your part. You got there. Like, congratulations. You got up. You didn't hit snooze. You got here. You showed up. You were after work, right? Our job is to deliver and like to help like fuel that energy, that community, that motivation, that workout. And that's part of the challenge. That's part of like the competitive nature of me. Like when I see you walk in, I'm like, I know everybody's tired right now. We can flip this switch. We can light this thing on fire. And like that's what like kind of invigorates me about training and being on the floor and like motivating people is just put yourself in their shoes for a split second, you know?
It's felt. I mean, it's definitely received right when we walk in there. I got to ask you though, I know my 5:15 in the morning crew loves to go for a walk right after.
You know, that
camp stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the beauty of it. And, I love that. You know, this is the Primal Journey podcast. And the reason you're here is because you are in alignment with the part of the three things that are the most important when you adapt a primal mindset.
Yep.
You know, nutrition's one.
Yep.
Strength training is one, and personal responsibility is the third thing.
Absolutely.
So when we talk about the strength training piece, I believe, and based off of everything I've read and the body that I've built to this day, it's amazing when you can work out for 35 minutes in a high intensity state and, you know, really work through some energy substrate that's already there, right?
Yep.
Like some carbohydrates, you get the blood moving, things are rolling. But that walk afterwards from 6 to about 6:35, you know, we can pretty much get in 2 miles after we're done with y'all's camps and
super
we'll walk.
Valuable.
There's like a dozen of us walking to go from that high heart rate, sometimes anaerobic state to take it into a full aerobic, fully oxygenated movement, like walking. We are in total fat burn mode that 35 minutes after your camp. And that's what I remind people of like during the camp. Great. We moved through some energy substrates. If you were drinking alcohol the night before, we got through the alcohol.
Yep.
We got through the carbohydrate. We got through the glucose in the blood. We got through the glycogen in the liver and muscle tissue.
Yep.
And guess what? Now the body has what nature has evolved us with.
And a low intensity walk.
A low intensity walk.
At that moment. Right.
Because once someone tells you for the first time that you only oxidize fat in the presence of oxygen, you realize that walking is a highly impactful move, exercise, if you will, if your goal is to burn fat, right? But to burn fat, we have to get through the substrate that comes before it, right?
Yep.
And glucose must go beforehand. So that's why I love burn, because that high intensity training that builds muscle, that makes room for more energy storage, happens in the first 35 minutes.
Yep.
And that walk afterwards is just pulling from those stored fat areas. And we are just, we've gone from burning through the sugar, now we're burning through the fat. And for the rest of our day, based on when we eat again and the types of food that we eat, we can remain fat burners for the rest of the day, or we can start reloading those carbohydrates and going back to the sugar burn. That's what I've learned in my journey, is just how to manage the substrate, how to time it right. And that's why burn's a superpower for me. Because I go in there, I build muscle, I get through substrates that get me to my fat. And then for the rest of the day, man, I'm a fat burning beast.
And I think you're right. The fitness industry is turning on this. The research is changing. Strength training is it. Like running 5 miles a day, 7 days a week is being proven more and more, or less and less valuable. Not that cardiovascular strength is
It's good. Stressful. Not that it's not.
There's values to it. There's always values to it, right? But the strength training is huge. I walk. Like I measure my walks. I've been walking 500 miles a year for the last 5 years. This year, I'm going to hit 700 miles.
Wow.
So I am a walker. I think it's my superpower. I walk after meals. I walk before I go to bed at night. I walk every morning when I get up at 4:30. Before I come to burn, I walk every single day, half mile. Not a lot, just a half mile. Then I'll go home and I'll walk the dogs later and get the other walks in, like you said, because they're fat burning walks and they're low intensity and they're not going to leave like any residual damage from afterwards, right? They're recovery and all that. So I love that you guys are walking. If I had the time of my day right then and there, like I would probably jump out there and join you guys. But like, obviously there's sometimes I'm training the next camp or I'm working out.
So I forgot what my question was. After our camp, when the 6:30 camp starts, does anybody else walk like we do afterwards? Are people taking the time to get the steps in?
Some, yes.
Okay.
Not as many. I think what you guys have created, just created a culture and a community. People want to do it. I think you have to spark. You need a spark, right, for that fire.
And it's fascinating.
Who started it with you guys?
I don't really, you know, people have always walked, but I feel like within the past several months, this has become a thing.
Yeah.
And we kind of walk, there's just quadrants of people walking around that parking lot.
I know.
I love it because I can be in one conversation over here and then I'll just cut across and through the parking lot and I'll hop in with the other group of people. And now we're talking about something different. And it's always like, you know, here's what's happening at school with my kids. You know, here's what's going on at my job. Oh, here's what's working nutrition wise. Here's an injury that I'm recovering from. Isn't it There's just a lot of different things.
It's therapeutic, right?
It is. And that's part of being primal, because as we evolved over time, we would have shared information with those that we care for and love for. That's how we adapt. That's how we grow. Right. That's how we express our genetics. That's how we share traits with each other, right?
Yeah.
It's how we transfer genes. It's all through expression. And the reason people feel lonely and depressed is because they've pulled back. They've pulled back. They're no longer receptive to learning new things. They're no longer sharing. They no longer feel like they have an impact on people. They no longer feel like they can hold promises to themselves. So by taking the time to learn, do the research, apply it, and then share it with someone, man, I'm telling you, bro, that's how we got to being where we are today. We got to keep doing that, you know? And that's, to me, that's really my responsibility here with the Primal Journey, is because for those people who knew me over the last decade, they would tell you it's a very different person sitting here right now in front of you. And I am proud of getting here. And I've just felt this, once I realized what was happening in my life and how efficient I've gotten, and once I've learned the game when it comes to energy, man, I just felt the need to help somebody. Like, and I can identify him. Like my buddy Jeff, right? Who you've heard on my podcast. He was 265 pounds in January. We have a history. We've grown up together since third grade. We kept in touch the whole way through. In our 30s, we would do these weight loss challenges with no health knowledge. We really didn't have anything. He's a doctor. He's an ER doctor here in town. But through med school, they don't really talk much about nutrition. It's more acute stuff, you know, chronic, whatever. So we did these weight loss challenges, and we'd go like 3 to 4 weeks, and we'd have this competition on who could lose the most weight. And we might drop 10, 15 pounds, but it was back on months later, the next time we saw each other. So once I learned the game, I was like, Jeff, man, you gotta understand this. Like, this is how energy substrates work in the body. This is what the body can store. This is what it can't store. And this is the order in which it prefers to oxidate fuel. Knowing this, dude, I'm telling you, just go animal-based. Just you really watch the carbs, depending on how active you are. Like, if you're going to do a 100-mile bike ride and then do a triathlon the next day, you might want to keep pumping some carbohydrate in the absence of a fat adaptation. But we need to work on becoming fat adapted. And that's what I tell people all the time, right? Like, we've got these metabolic pathways, but through, I'm 42 years old, over the years, based on my eating habits and how I consistently show up, my body is smart. It's only going to upregulate what it needs, and everything else it's going to let chill to conserve energy. So, you know, back when I was at my heaviest, drinking alcohol, you know, Mexican for lunch, Jimmy John's, pizza for dinner, no joke. Like, it didn't matter. I was just eating it. I was in energy surplus, and I didn't understand why. You know, I didn't understand why I could go, you know, to ACAC every evening, at, or, you know, every afternoon at 3:30 and work out for an hour, and just nothing moved, nothing happened. And then when I learned about the substrates and, you know, what they do in the body, that's when I was able to get to where I am today. So. Again, just sharing it when you learn it.
And I think you got to do, you know, I always say, like, people like, is Burn the best place to work out? Is it Orange Theory? Is it ACAC? I say, hey, you got to do what you're going to do, what you're going to stick with. You've got to find a plan, and you've got to stick with it. So if you're not going to come to Burn Bootcamp, then don't join, because it's not going to work for you. I promise it won't work. If you go all in on Burn Bootcamp and you show up 5 days a week, you give 100% when you're there, it'll work. I guarantee it will. But I also think Orange Theory would probably work if you showed up every single day. I got theories, right? Because, like, there's a little more cardio there. Like, I think they could use some more weights.
Have you always been a weight guy?
I mean, never. Okay. No. I was a cardio junkie. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. There was a point I went completely paleo about 14 years ago. I'm not 100% paleo now. I try to eat clean. I try to eat proteins. I try to eat a lot of meat. I do eat carbs, of course. But I went paleo. It was after a 20-hour per week training plan. So, like, for like 4 months, I trained for 20 hours a week. Like, no one works out for 20 hours a week. I worked out for 20 hours a week, dude. And I saw a photo of myself at the Ironman I was doing. And I'm like, that guy looks hungry. like you wouldn't have guessed that I worked out for 20 hours a week. You would guess I didn't eat for 20 hours a week, or fasted the whole, you know, whatever. And I was like, I've got to change this, like, because I'm getting skinny, and I'm actually less healthy. And that's when I started realizing strength training. I started getting in the gym. It wasn't until Burn, though, where I consistently strength trained. which is kind of crazy. Like that, that's like 2 years ago is when I started like really picking up weights, putting them down and trying to lift heavier and heavier. And that's like the biggest growth I've seen. I'm 43 years old. I got more muscle in my body now than I did at 25. Way more muscle.
I know. We looked at those InBodies and it just shows you the power of consistency, but also the power of perspective shift. You just spoke about a perspective shift that you had, something you noticed, something you had to come to terms with. You saw it in a picture and you said, okay, need to make a change. And you did.
And not everybody does that. That's the problem. Like they say, it's a mark of an educated mind to entertain a thought without accepting it as fact. I think it's Aristotle. Like, I'm not sure who said it. It's the mark of an educated mind to entertain a thought without accepting it as fact. As a runner, you're like, this is it. This is the most healthy way to live your life. And if you don't ever say, is there other ways I should think about? And now you just stay in that way. Eventually, you're going to get so far off the path, or maybe you're going down the right path. I don't know, but you're not entertaining that other thought. And that was for me to go from running 50 miles a week and biking 200 miles a week. Now I run 25 miles a week. I bike 50 miles a week. I'm still doing the same marathons, the same ultra marathons. I'm doing a 50K next month. My goal is to be top three overall. Who knows? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I've changed my training completely from how I used to train for that same race.
That's called growth through subtraction, just so you know.
Yeah.
Like the things that you subtract and take away, you grow from, right? Yeah. So you took away more chronic stuff, and next thing you know, the numbers are moving the way you want it to go. For me, when I made my change, it was getting rid of alcohol. You know, and a lot of times when I'm mentoring people through change, I'm not asking them to do more. I'm asking them to give up something, you know? So it's powerful. You just become more efficient when you start getting rid of things that aren't serving you.
And it's funny, you can get rid of things because that's ultimately like the alcohol, especially if it leads to other things. If it means you're out eating and it means you're, a lot of people, it's not the one glass of beer or glass of bourbon they had. It's the fact they also had a pizza with it because their discipline drops a little bit when they're at the bar, right?
And it does.
Like, it's like, not only did you have two drinks last night, you also had like fried chicken and a piece of pizza. And you're like, like the whole thing got bad, right?
It gets bad. It gets out of hand.
It gets out of hand. So it's like all those things that come with it. So if you can, but I also think like if you can put things healthy in your diet, like I've got a bottle of water right here. I brought one bottle with me today. So if I was going to drink a soda, I got this water. So I put water in my diet. So I've got one thing in my hand when I walk in, it's not a soda.
Yeah.
Right? So you insert things in. You eat more eggs. You eat your eggs first for breakfast. You're less likely to eat the pancakes.
I'll tell you what happened to me. Exactly. And it's not by accident, right? There's all these cues that we work off throughout the day that keep us doing the right thing. But I'll tell you, you mentioned that story of having one thing which leads to the next thing and the thing after that. That's complete self-sabotage. Yeah. And I'm so guilty of that. But then I read a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it was right around 2018, I think, when I read this. My friend Dale Boxani told me about it. And I read it and actually listened to it in an audiobook while I was walking. And he talked about winning the majority of votes in a day. And he mentioned a general election, right? If you want to become president, you don't need to win 100% of the vote. You don't need to win 80% of it. You just need to win 51% of it to get the majority, right? So as I would go throughout my day, and back when I was drinking alcohol, here's what would happen. 8 o'clock would come around, kids are down, I'd have a couple Woodford Reserves with some Stacy's pita chips, shut it down by 10:30 at night, wake up the next morning, having the stomach ache, poor sleep, I'm grumpy. So because I already made a bad decision that evening, in my mind, it was okay to stop by Chick-fil-A and get two chicken biscuits because I'm already a loser. Like I already couldn't withhold from the drinking. So it's like, dude, you already suck. So get the chicken biscuits. And then I'd make it into the office and someone would say, hey, anybody want to go to Plaza? And I'm like, sure, why not? Because, dude, you drank the night before.
Yeah, I'm not
you
on had the tracks.
Like, who gives a shit? Yeah, who cares? Just let it go.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, I'm at Plaza Azteca crushing it, and I probably had a lunch margarita. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'd have a margarita at lunch. I own my own business. Didn't care. You know, I was in control. And then I come home and pick up the kids, and it gets loud again. Next thing you know, I'm having a couple IPAs just to kind of chill out from that and try not to face it. And the cycle just continues. But I could never get on track because I didn't pay attention to those small wins, right? So and the difference is now when I wake up, it's 4:35 when the alarm goes off. And the first vote that I place for myself is putting my feet on the floor right at 4:35. That's one vote for the guy I want to be.
Yeah.
The second vote for the guy I want to be is when 5:15 hits and that camp starts up, right? Mm-hmm. The third vote for the guy I want to be is making that walk 35 minutes right afterwards. Yeah. The fourth vote is my kids are at school on time. The fifth vote, I'm in the sauna. The sixth vote, I'm at my desk by 9, getting after it, right, yeah, for the next 3 hours. So that's six votes by 9 a.m. Yeah. for the guy that I want to be,
yeah,
right? So I'm stacking votes early in the day. Yeah. Now, say I get into the afternoon and someone invites me to lunch and we end up at a place that's not primal, but I'm not going to be rude. I'm not going to turn down a lunch invite. I might have, you know, some fries with something, whatever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
It's still 6-1.
It's still 6-1. People need to understand that. I know this might sound like not a big deal, but for people like me who self-sabotaged all the time and gave themselves a way out,
yeah,
I'm telling you, you just got to collect the majority of votes.
Yeah.
That worked for me.
And the next one, like you've heard me say this on like an Instagram, right? I'm like, get a win. And like, it's not one win. One vote won't do it. Like you can't just have one vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the day.
Need the majority.
But win the first one. Like, you know, I always tell people like in a training plan for a marathon, there's 4 months of training. There's like 80 workouts. And they're like, what's the most important one? I'm like, the next one.
Love it.
Just get the next one. If the next one is a recovery day, crush your recovery day. One win. Like, don't look at it as 70 wins. Don't look at it as 6 decisions by 9 a.m. Just win the first one. And like, that's why I always say get your win, because I know even if you get a win at 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock is going to be better.
Yes.
Right? And like, that's my mentality. And I try and, like, I think you and I are people will call us to the extreme. Your 6 wins by 9 a.m. is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, but if I can get somebody who's not getting any wins by 9 a.m. just to get one or get to two or just see what that feels like to try and get the third one, that's where I feel like my role is with people. Is sometimes people walk in the gym, they never worked out before. Their win is just making it through camp. You know,
it's tough
trying to get them to that point.
It's a challenging physical activity, your camps. Yeah. I mean, it's not, I mean, it is for beginners because there's a community there that can help pull them through. And you can, what I love about what you do too, Mike, with your programs is you can mod it up, you can mod it down. Yeah. You're in charge of that, right? Yeah. If you're nursing an injury somewhere, like for example, today I had this, I still got this crick in my neck right here. Yeah. It's so tight.
And you still did pull-ups.
I did chin-ups.
Oh, you did chin-ups. Okay.
Because I'm like, I'm not going to work my back muscles. Okay. So I just banged out some chin-ups. And then some other things like the dips that were going on, I just got down and did bicycle crunches. Because like, I'm going to do something because I'm here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I forgot where I was going with that.
We're just modifying the workouts.
Yeah, you can modify it. So when I'm coaching people and helping people, you know, you've seen my protocol on my board. Yeah, like I have minimal things that I have to do every day to maintain and get better. Right. Some people won't do 10 pushups in a year. And I know that because I was one of those guys. Some people won't do a pull up in a year. And I know that because I couldn't do a pull up until 2022. Wow. I mean, I never did them because they were hard and only fit people did them. So I wasn't going to mess with it. It's important to start somewhere, measure it, and grow from it week after week. Yep. And I think you do a great job with encouraging people to do that. And the way you do it is by telling them to keep track of their reps and what they're doing, you know?
My favorite saying is, hey, counting reps is the highest form of self-love.
When you said that, I'm like, dude, you and I listen to the same thing. We're reading the same stuff because these small things that if they are put to task, if they're put in order, man, it can yield some powerful results. But a lot of people will overlook those 10 pushups a day. They won't do them because they think that it's not worth it, or it's beneath them, right? Yeah. They won't humble themselves to the level they're currently at. So my point is this, like, I couldn't do any pull-ups back in 2022. I made it a point to learn how to do pull-ups, and now I do pull-ups, and I make it a point to, this week I'm doing 25 pull-ups per day, 5 days a week. Nice. So I'll be at 125 this week.
Yeah.
And it's not to brag, but it is to show you that I had to go from zero to get here.
Yeah.
And through consistency, man.
I love tracking.
We're here.
I'm a big tracker. I track my steps. I track my walk. I told you earlier, like I do 10,000 steps a day. That's my goal. And my goal is to do it every single day this year. And I can tell you the day I didn't do it, it was June 21st, you know? But if you track, and 10,000 is actually not a lot of steps. Like I want more than that. But like I want my worst day, my baseline to be 10,000 steps. And I missed it probably 4 times this year. I'm probably going to end up missing it 4 times this year. And you look back and say, well, you didn't hit your goal. Like, no, 361 times I walked 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
So even 10 push-ups is a win, and you do it over the course of an entire year. Well, that's, with how many is that? It's 3,000? That's a lot of push-ups.
That's the way I stack everything. I quantify it to the thousands over time. Yeah. James Clear in his book, and I should have browsed it one more time, but I remember this from when I read it. He talked about if a plane was to take off from LAX on the West Coast and fly to New York City, as soon as those pilots get up in the air from LAX and set their heading towards New York City, once they start the flight, if they adjust their heading just 3.5 degrees south when they take off, they will miss New York City and they will end up in Washington, D.C., which is like 600 miles off path.
Yeah.
Just because of that 3.5 degree change in heading. And that just shows you what little change over an extended period of time can do. And I never forgot that. So as I'm going throughout my days and I'm deciding, do I want to make my bed? Do I want to do these little things? Do I want to make sure there's something in the fridge? Do I want to make sure I get up when the alarm goes off? These little things over time are gonna stack up, you know, for everyone. And that was a good visualization for me. But I'll tell you, I didn't just start waking up at 4:30.
Right.
I didn't. I had to train myself in the summer of 2023 to get up at 5:30. So I would set an alarm for 5:30. I come down to the kitchen. I throw all the lights on that summer. Mm-hmm. And I'd make a cup of coffee, and I'd get on YouTube, and I would watch videos about health and nutrition and fasting, the gut microbiome.
Yep.
But the fact that I was up was the win. I just wanted to be up.
Yeah.
And so I did that for about a month, mm-hmm. right? So 4 weeks go by, and I'm getting up at 5, and Natai's like, are you really doing this on the weekend, too? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, because I have to break through this. Like, I have to teach my body that this is what I do. So after about a month, I was like, you know what? I think I can sling some kettlebells on the driveway, right? And so that was the summer of 2022.
You stacked a win.
I quit drinking March 28th, 2022. In June 2022, I locked in the early rise.
Yeah.
And then also in June, I told myself, I'm going to do a kettlebell workout every day until I go to Mexico on September the 18th with the family.
Yeah.
And I went from 21% body fat down to 10% body fat in about 16 months. With that same type of discipline, just sticking to it consistently. Yeah. And it became a game. It became, with the baseline and being able to see the results in the in-body, it became something that I could really have some fun with and attack, mm-hmm. you know?
If you can measure it, that's the thing. I think for you and I both, if I can measure something, and that's where the competitive nature comes in. Like I said, I'm competitive. You're competitive too. And you're competitive with yourself more than you're competitive with beating other people. So once you can measure 25 pull-ups a day, there's no way you're not doing 25 pull-ups a day. Because that means you lost to you.
Yes, exactly.
You're not having that.
Exactly. But it wasn't, I just want to, in the three episodes I've done, I've had a few people say some feedback that they've given me is we want to know more about, you know, the process of getting here, pushing through hard things and times when you failed. And one thing I want to tell you, with where we are today, this really started for me back in 2020. Mm-hmm. I want to make this clear. Right after COVID happened, we get into the fall of 2020. I really didn't know anything about health and nutrition. I didn't know how bacteria worked, viruses. I was naive to the whole thing. And so I knew I had a weak spot. You know, I've been kind of caught unprepared with this health thing that was going on.
Yep.
And so I listened to the Model Health Show by Sean Stevenson on Spotify. It just caught me, started listening to it while walking. In March of 21, Natalia, my wife, was turning 40. And so we had this trip to Jamaica planned. And just like every trip before, I was already anxious about showing up the big guy on the beach, paying thousands of dollars just to be not wanting to take my shirt off on a beach and feel good about myself. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this again. Let's try to make a change. So January 1 of 2021, I quit drinking alcohol, and I told myself I would take my next drink in Jamaica with Natalia for a 40th. So it was about 90 days of no booze. I went from 230 to 215. I was feeling great. I got to Jamaica. Even the couple we went with, the girl that was with us, she was like, well, wow, you look different. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't drink for 90 days. Like, I tried something different. But, hey, I can't wait to get to Jamaica. We're going to start drinking again. Well, I hit the airport, man, and I was hitting the whatever the Jamaican beer is in the airport when I got there, and I was back, baby. Got to the beach. I'm, you know, having drinks to start the day, drinks throughout the day. All of a sudden, I noticed I'm not sleeping again like I used to. Like, all the stuff started coming back. And throughout 2021, I kept the drinks when I got back home to the States. Like, I kept drinking all throughout the rest of the year. Well, for our 10-year anniversary in 2022, a year later, we go to the Dominican together. And we get to the Dominican, And we go out to dinner and my shirt wouldn't fit the way that it used to. Right. And I'm like, man, like, why is this not fitting? I had scale anxiety, so I never stepped on scales because I never wanted to face my choices. Right. So I just would, I would avoid scales. So when I put these clothes on, when I was in the Dominican, it was tight. And I was like, okay, what's changed? And I was like, dude, you've been drinking ever since you got back from Jamaica. That has to be it. You know, it's the alcohol. So I remember being in the Dominican with Natalia and I downloaded the Reframe app, which is an app to help you stop drinking alcohol. And I downloaded that. I set up my information and I remember walking the beach in the Dominican with her, really feeling down on myself. Like, dude, you can't keep any promises to yourself. It's just self-sabotage all the time. You just won't do what you know you need to do. I saw this really, Natalia will tell you about it, I saw this really fit dad with his two sons, and they were teenage boys, but damn, they were fit. And man, I just never forgot it. I was looking for it. Like, I'm looking for things like this because it's on my mind. Like, I know I need to make change, and I see this, and I'm like, man, this guy, the only difference between him and you is probably his choices that he's making. Like, this guy chose to be 100%. Like this, and look at his kids. 100%. His kids are manifesting the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we got back in March of 2023 from, or excuse me, March of 2022 from the Dominican. And it was like March 24th. A few days go by. I go back to being around the baseball fields. This is a Sunday afternoon. And we come back from baseball and Natalia starts making dinner. Kids scatter. I go down into the basement around 4 p.m. There's a few White Claws down there. I toss back three or four White Claws, and then I get full like I always did. So I switched it to vodka, and I would just sip on vodka. And this is a Sunday before work. This is how terrified I was of what I had to do for a living. Yeah. Like, I tried to really avoid it because I had no confidence in myself. So I would just get buzzed to ignore what was coming the next day, right? So I come up for dinner, and I sit down, and I realize I'm pretty hammered on a Sunday afternoon. And Natalia looks at me, and it wasn't like a stern look, but it was just kind of like, are you serious kind of look? Like, this is what we're
She's giving me that look when I ask her to pick up heavy weights. Exactly. So I think I recognize that
look. You don't want to see that look again. You don't want to see it.
I'm just joking. She always picks up.
So that was it for me. Drinking on a Sunday by myself in a basement. Realizing that I've got a problem with this. And the problem is that I don't want to face what's worrying me. Yeah. And what's worrying me is going out and making a living for my family, running my own business. I was so fearful of it that I just wanted to hide from it. Right. I didn't want to make choices that I knew I had to make. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Alcohol was gone, man. March 28th, I never touched it again. Here we are today. It'll be 3 years next March.
That's crazy. And
but it took a lot of starting and stopping over the years to get to this point. And, you know, the alcohol disappeared, and through that growth, through subtraction, I was able to fill it with other things. And I saw on Instagram a guy surfing in Costa Rica. And when he wasn't surfing, he was eating liver and cooking ribeyes and making his own kefir at home. And his name was Paul Saladino, the carnivore MD. Okay. And I was like, wow, I'm feeling pretty good. I haven't been drinking alcohol. And you know what? This guy's lifestyle looks pretty good. So I'm just going to go for this. And I just started replicating what this guy was doing online. You know, I was eating a ribeye every day. I remember Natalia questioning it, like, damn, are you really going to just keep eating red meat like this? I'm like, yeah, because I feel amazing. I'm still eating some fruit. I'm eating some honey. And the weight started flying off, man. The self-doubt went away. The cloud lifted. I think it was just the mixture of getting rid of the alcohol, changing the diet. Mm-hmm. And with that, you know, a growth mindset showed up.
Yeah. You know, I love that. And from the nutrition side, because I'm there too, right? One of the things that's frustrating right now is you go to like traditional, like, I don't know, doctors. I don't want to bash anybody. But a lot of times it's like, hey, here's how you solve that. And here's a pill. Here's a drug. And it's like, we very rarely say, are you sleeping enough? Are you drinking enough water? Like, what's your alcohol like? What's your food like? And we skip all those things. And to your point, like, what changed your life wasn't anything like, wasn't one of those, right? It was just correcting your diet. It was just recognizing what fuels your body and what actually goes against your goals of fueling your body.
Well, when you talk about fueling your body, it's not just the macros, man. It's the hormones, yeah. right? The food at a molecular level is sending instructions to upregulate or downregulate either adaptive hormones or stress hormones. So do you want to eat foods, toxic ones, like you think about alcohol, right? Acetate has to go, no storage. Yeah. Do you want to eat foods that generate a cortisol response and encourage you to store fat because hard times are coming? Or do you want to eat foods that encourage muscle growth and development and brain repair and neuron coding, like things that help you think clear? Like, what type of hormones do you want to regulate?
Yeah, 100%.
Stressful
and
or adaptive?
There's inflammatories and anti-inflammatories, right? Berries are an anti-inflammatory. But like obviously bread is something that, like, if you're injured and you're trying to recover and your body's working its hardest to recover and you're consuming a lot of bread or those type of carbohydrates or starches, like, it's going against the recovery. And we know that, but, like, that's not the first thing anybody goes to when they're trying to recover from a broken leg or recover their body from healing from a good workout even, right?
Yeah,
like, that's just, right. Like, we're not doing, like, wait a second. Like, and I'm not saying, I eat bread sometimes and I have alcohol sometimes. But I also know, like, to fuel my body to get the optimum performance, here's what I can do. And, like, I'm still stacking wins. So it's still 6-1 when I have a piece of bread, right? It's not the other
Absolutely,
way around.
Absolutely, yeah.
But understanding, like, how food, like, you come in right now, you say, I got a headache. I'm like, cool. Have you had a glass of water yet? That's the first question I'm going to ask you. Yeah. Like, and it drives people nuts because they're like, can I just have a headache? I'm like, no, you can't just have a headache. It's a response to something in your body yes. being off. And it's 99% of the time, it's something in your nutrition. People have gut problems, a lot of gut problems. Yeah. And, like, we give different ways to fix that, and we never come back to, like, what's your diet?
Like, exactly.
Really dive into
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. Hey, listen. It gets me riled up. Sorry.
Well, no. Listen, you talk about these headaches. Yesterday, Natalia did not come to athletic conditioning. She just did not feel like doing a cardio day. Well, I come home to have breakfast around noon, and she's like, gosh, it's so crazy. She's like, the days that I miss burn is when the headaches show up throughout the day. And I'm like, honey, there's no surprise in that because you don't have the same cascade of chemicals going throughout the day that you do when you start your day at burn, you know? Today, you know, this morning, the camp this morning almost didn't come. In fact, the alarm went off at 4:35 and I told Natalia, I said, hey, I'm out. I said, I can't really look to the left. I don't want to mess with this. I don't want to hurt it. But I said, I'm going to go. And you want to know why? I said, because I start every day, Monday through Friday, with this concoction of stress and adaptive hormones in my blood.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit down with Mike Wolf not feeling the way that I do every single morning, which every single morning I feel like there's nothing I can't do after I leave Burn Boot Camp, right?
Yeah.
So that's my thought process.
It's nothing to do with your shoulder or your muscle.
If I start my day with inactivity today, on a day that I'm going to be talking to Mike Wolf about, you know, personal development, I want to feel like I always do. So therefore, I got to be there, you know, and I'm so glad I made that choice, man. I just kind of modded my way around the floor this morning.
The hardest days of my life, I'm going to work out for sure, 100%, no doubt, in the morning before I go. The hardest days, I'm always going to do that. And if I can't work out because I just ran a marathon and it's not safe to walk right now or not safe to run, I'll go walk 2 miles. But, like, I know that the value that adds to my day, there's no way I'm going to start a tough day or any day, really, if I can avoid it without getting a workout or being active. I said getting a workout, being active.
So tell me this. We follow each other on Instagram. You and I are on the same page when it comes to motivation and discipline and guys that we listen to. Who motivates you? And it doesn't have to be someone physically here in Richmond, but who is someone that you go to that just, when you're not feeling it, man, when you're questioning things, you put it on and all of a sudden it's go time. Who is it?
I think the number one, I mean, Eric Thomas has been around for a long time. I mean, everybody loves Eric Thomas. I mean, he just, how bad do you want it, man? And I love that. Like, if you just walk up to me in the gym and, like, ask me that question while I'm trying to do something, I'm like, all right, I got it. I'm going to go a little harder. Jocko Willink, Extreme Ownership, one of the best books I've ever listened to.
You know what I love about Jocko, and I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to say it close to what he says. He says, you know, pay attention to your health and fitness or become a slave to disease. It was something like that. It was like, get invested in your health or become a slave to disease. Learn how to manage your time or have no free time.
Like, discipline equals
all
freedom.
This stuff from Jack. Look, you see my whole thing here. I bought the book. I've read it. This is my library that I've built over time. But yes, man, I've read this. I've lent it out to people.
People don't have freedom, Will, in their lives. And they don't realize that you and I, who are so regimented and do all these things, how much actual freedom and time you do have.
Because
of your discipline affords you that.
When I was getting here to start this podcast with you today, this is the earliest one I've ever done, yeah. But you wanted to go early. I said, I'm going to do it. As I was getting here this morning, I'm just smiling at how efficient I was, just banging out everything that needed to happen to get here. And there was no lack of enthusiasm right when we got here together. We were charged up, ready to go. And that's not by accident. And that's why I like Jim Rohn, because he talks about the importance of arriving at a well-designed destination or a poorly designed destination. And there's a big difference between the two, you know, and when it comes to our health and our wellness, you can't leave anything to chance. I wrote down a quote on my board out there. I don't know if you saw it, but it really resonated with me this week. Winners take chances,
losers take chances, winners make choices.
Yes, losers take chances. You saw that.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. When I heard that, I was like, holy hell, that is it. You know, and then they said losers and winners have the same goals. When you think about it, it's true. Everybody wants to win. Everybody has, and there's nothing like super admirable about setting a big goal.
I say hate goals because like everybody's got them. Like,
everybody does.
I'd rather you have a really small goal. And like, I think Eric Thomas said, I'd rather have a really small goal and just a massive grind. Like if your goal is to do one pull-up and every day you work on one pull-up, man, I'm all about that. If your goal is to do 100 pull-ups and you don't do anything, I'm not impressed. There's a lot of really great goals out there in this world.
And when you think about it, every day winning is a lifestyle. It's not an event. Yeah. Because I've thought about where I am today and everybody's like, well, when are you going to do something differently? And I guess what that would mean is like, when are you going to be less strict on the nutrition piece? Or when are you going to have a drink again? Like, when are you going to do this and that? There's no way that I can go back because I'm never done with what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And I don't see the end of this as for me being a podium where everybody's clapping and applauding me for doing anything. Like for me, it's every day winning internally, in my own mind, doing the things that I said I was going to do each day. And that's why I believe firmly that it is when you're making choices that are in alignment with your consciousness, like when you're truly listening to your heart telling you that you need to make change and you do that every single day, that's winning. That process of getting through it is, you know, collecting the majority of votes, winning the day. You know, like you spoke about earlier, that's what makes it a lifestyle. We do this daily. This isn't a final destination. It isn't just getting to the level up games or the regional games and then taking a back seat on your fitness routine. This is, hey, I'm showcasing my grind right now. You know, that's the beauty of these events is that I can showcase what I do every single day.
Yeah. It's a gift and a curse. I'm never going to arrive. Like, I'm like, oh, I got to do this. I got to qualify for this race. I want to do the athlete games. I know after that happens, I'm going to celebrate for a moment and then I'm going to be like, what's next? And it's dangerous because you also should celebrate, right? Like celebrate where you are today. Like where you are right now is a podium. It is a podium. You know, you've accomplished so much. And like you should celebrate that. And then at the same time, walk out of here and be ridiculously motivated to do something more, right? So like it's one of those, it's like a conundrum. Like we're never satisfied. And like, and I be honest with you, when you have teams of people and you lead people, like I have to be very careful. Because
I saw your post last night, explain that.
What? Like with
talking about leadership style. Like, yes, you're jazzed up, you're fired up, you're doing your thing, but you gotta be real careful when you bring that around people that you're leading, that you're mentoring.
That one really resonated with me because Kobe's my idol and his mentality is great. But like that leader said, I can't remember the guy. He said, look, this doesn't work everywhere. Like you can't just be hard on people. And just because Kobe Bryant was hard on his teammates and they won championships doesn't mean you can go to me at Burn Boot Camp and be hard on your trainers and think you're going to win more championships.
Yeah. It's like that works great in the NBA finals.
That worked great in the NBA finals. And that would work great with me and you shoulder to shoulder working out. Like, absolutely. And if I ever talk to you on the floor, I'm going to talk to you like Kobe Bryant would talk to his teammates, right? You would do the same thing to me. But that's not how leadership always works. And I have to recognize, like, that sometimes good enough needs to be there for some folks. And you need to celebrate that. And, like, you can't be – what they can't know you for is just being relentless. Like, you know, so, like, that's where sometimes you got to stop. You got to celebrate. I don't think we've done that. And I don't think we do that enough. I think you and I, of all people, probably do that the least amount. even though we still celebrate some things, we don't always celebrate where our feet are. And that guy just helped me understand, like, hey, look, I've got to do this more. I've got to keep checking myself every day with that.
You know, Jim Rohn said, work hard on your job and make a living. Work harder on yourself and make a fortune. And when I heard that back when I gave up alcohol, it gave me peace when I was filling all my time with personal development. Yeah. You know, it just knowing that I wasn't distracted anymore and that when I wasn't working on techno or taking my kids places or doing things around the house, that the rest of that time was spent in personal development, that it wasn't in vain because I knew it was going to pay off. It was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that. I mean, my life now, I mean, I had to apologize to friends over the past couple of years for being different now. And I remember I was riding, I had a buddy of mine brought his son over. We were hanging out and Natai took the kids somewhere. So it ended up just being him and I and having a free afternoon for a couple hours. And this is after I quit drinking and he knew me from back in my old days of really getting after it. And, we had some free time. I said, hey, do you want to go to ACAC? We just go sit in the sauna and hang out and talk, you know, where old Will would have said, hey, let's go catch a beer up at this place and watch a game or something. So I remember we rode to ACAC and it was kind of weird going to ACAC during our free time. I was like, I'll pay for you as a guest. Come on in here. But it was so weird in the car that I just apologized to my buddy. I was like, hey man, I know things are so different right now, but I just want to thank you for going along with this with me, you know, cause I know that we don't talk about the same things and you're adjusting to me and, I'm adjusting to you again, but just thank you for not giving up on me. You know, thanks for hanging around, for accepting the weirdness that I know this is for everybody, you know, because when you do a 180 like that, man, it's very different for a lot of people. You know, it causes a lot of different emotions from people. Some people are supportive. Some people, you just get that sense, aren't really cheering for you, but, you know, it's a change for everybody.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, when it happens. Yeah. Moving forward from Burn, man, you know, we've got a few more minutes here. You tackled the fitness piece and now we're talking nutrition. Yeah. So tell me about that next step for you from Burn to Project Lean Nation. What caused it?
Yeah. So it really came from Burn, like having conversations with a lot of folks at Burn, both gyms, like talking about nutrition, realizing like, hey, working out is one part of your day, extremely valuable, but there's other 23 hours of the day, and recognizing that nutrition is just like, there's just a lot of myths out there, like what you should and shouldn't do. And like, you know, back in the day, it was fat free everything, right? Everything is fat free and
like, fat free, low sodium. Remember that?
Yeah. I had somebody ask me about sodium. I was like, you need more sodium. Like somebody asked me, I said, if that's the thing you're looking at our foods to see if it's got or not got, it's the wrong thing to probably be looking at. Like you want sodium.
I crush those.
I put 1,000 milligrams of sodium in my water bottle every single morning. And if I work at another time in the day, I put another 1,000 milligrams of sodium.
Yes. So what's great about sodium is that any excess, the body just pees out. It just pees it out. You know, so it's actually more dangerous to not get enough sodium. You know, we can handle an excess. We just get rid of it. Right. But think about sugar. You eat too much sugar, which doesn't take much. You're talking about an insulin response. You know, you're talking about inflammation. You're talking about high blood pressure. You're talking about just putting more stored fat on top of an already fat source that has too much, you know.
It's use it or lose it. Like when you take carbs, the carbs are for energy. And if you're not using energy, then carbs are not helping you. They're probably working against your goals. But no, I agree with that. And I think, so like just helping people eat. And for me, like, I think you can be, like when I went paleo, that was kind of extreme. I think you can argue like primal, right? It's not extreme, but it's definitely aggressive, right? And I'm not against people going in that route. But for the first step for me is like just having people like understand food is fuel and figure out like what foods you need to fuel your body. But stop looking at food as food. Look at food as fuel. And if you're not eating enough and you're eating 1,200 calories a day and you're gaining weight, you're probably in starvation mode. You probably can't, your body can't react to that. And what that, and it makes working out less effective. It makes women going through perimenopause or menopause less effective. And it has a whole bunch of other negative effects. So trying to just get people back to that. And then from there, I think you fine tune, like, Is it how much of carbohydrates? Is it turning it down? Mm-hmm. How much of fats? Is it turning it up? How much of protein? It's always turning it up.
Yeah, tweak it as you go. Just really,
and find out what your body needs, right?
Yeah. Well, just like I showed you with creatine.
Yeah.
Remember my InBodies report on the walls? Yeah. How I got rid of creatine for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
In that time period, I lost 4 pounds of muscle. Yeah. Which was just volume in the muscle, right? Because my total body water went down too with that. So, and then 2 weeks later, after incorporating the creatine back, all of a sudden muscle's on the way back. Yeah. Body water is high again because we're storing that creatine. It's fascinating.
We could do a whole podcast on creatine, Will. But creatine's the most studied, proven supplement in the world. Like, and it's not just for bodybuilders.
Yeah.
Like, just do it. And if your parents aren't doing it, have your parents do it.
So, hey, we got a couple more minutes, but I want to know this too, as I haven't asked you yet. It's important in personal development, right? Yeah. It's important for people to get started. A lot of people struggle with this. It can take years of starting and stopping. What is your why? You know, what is the one thing that gets you going every single day that keeps you in the discipline that you're in? What is it?
Well, first of all, discipline, we're blessed to have discipline. It's a muscle. It's God-given. But it's our job to work that muscle. So yes, discipline's huge and I've got that. My why is two parts. One, it's selfish, and two, it's people. So the one that's selfish is like, I think you have to pour into your own cup first, put your own mask on first. Right. And you're wrecked when the plane's going down. You've got to. So for me, my why first starts with me. Like, I need to be a happy, whatever human being, right? Mentally, physically, whatever that is. And that's a lot of different things where that competitive nature comes and wanting to win and all that stuff. That's part of my why. Like, I get up every day and I think about that and I don't want to lose to myself. So I'm very competitive. I'm very driven in that way. But the other part of my why is just people, man. I love it. They say you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together.
That's how it makes you feel.
That's it, man. Like, it's so much more fun winning with people.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more fun. I love laying on the floor at Burn Boot Camp. I don't care if you're the top athlete in the gym or the first time you're there. I love laying on the floor, soaked in sweat, next to somebody going, "What up, man?
Yeah.
You just did that." Yeah. Like, you know, high five. That why, like, of celebrating. And that's what burn is cool. Is like, in running, I can't do that. I can't run with everybody. We're not all skill levels running together.
Yeah.
But in burn, you're shoulder to shoulder with people who are better than you, stronger than you, newer than you, less talented, more talented, stronger, whatever it is. And you're just suffering together. And like, we go together, we go further. So that's kind of the why, and that's why Burn Boot Camp just like kind of fills my cup.
What's going on with Burn right now? We're moving into the winter months, right? Holidays ahead. Are you guys doing anything special right now to attract people who might be wanting to do the cliche New Year's Day? Let me get it going. What's going on?
Yeah, we'll do a promotion starting in the middle of December through like January, and we're working on that now, trying to figure out how we can get even more camp times. And more trainers on the floor to support. Like, obviously, there's going to be more people in the gym. I always tell people, look, the gym's going to be more crowded in January. To those of you who are in the gym and it's more crowded, like, there's two ways you can look at it. This stinks, or like, there's somebody here today that's trying to change their life, and I'm going to high five them. Like, just, I get it. And a lot of them will be there in 2 months, because we know New Year's resolutions don't last long. But when that gym gets more crowded, somebody's trying to recommit to themselves. I'd rather them recommit on November 20th or 21st or whatever day today is.
Yeah.
But if January 1st is their day, like, let's meet them there with a high five. I know it can be more frustrating. Every gym's a little more crowded right now. It's not just Burn. It's ACAC. It's everyone.
Oh, for sure.
So we'll do a promotion. We'll try and get more people in the gym. We'll double down on the trainers on the floor. We'll double down on support. We'll double down if we can get more camps. We're talking about an additional camp on Saturdays. We're talking about maybe even some noon camps. We've got a lot of things in the works to try and give back to the community so we can make it easier for the members. But that's a big thing for us. And really just getting people to hook, you know, it's like getting that win. If you come for 3 weeks straight, those are wins, 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 wins. You may want to come for the fourth week at that point, right? And decide it's for you. So that's kind of where we're at. We've been talking about it. We've been making plans for the last month and a half now. We've been planning for January 1st since October 1st.
I think it's going to be big.
Yeah.
I really do.
I do too.
I think it's trending in the right direction. I think people are looking into their health more and more and understanding the importance of strength training and nutrition.
Yeah.
You talked about your why and helping others and taking care of yourself, because you got to take care of yourself first before you can help others, right? 100%. It's just like being on an airplane. Put your mask on first and take care of those around you. For me, man, I'm telling you, as I've gone through this for 2.5 years and I've written in a journal. I've podcasted. I've spent a lot of time thinking about what my why is. It's always been my kids, right? Right. I mean, having three kids. But then it's more simple than that. And I realized at the end of the day, I just want to keep my children inspired and my wife interested. Yeah. That's it. Those two things. I'm just focusing on that. And that's where Burn Boot Camp comes in, because I can't tell you what it was like, all the travel practices and tournaments I do for my kids and watching them perform. I love going to the Level Up games and looking and seeing my kids watching me do that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Just showcasing strength at 42. Just pushing through barriers, sweating, getting through it, and just your kids watching you, kind of in amazement, Burn enables me to have a relationship with my wife that is so healthy and consistent because we both feel good every day. We're both making choices that are positive for our lives together. And, it's such a good thing for our family. So I'm grateful for you for, bringing the people together the way that you do. Your staff's excellent. I mean, no matter who's on that mic, they do an excellent job. I got to tell you before we get off here, the first time Natalia brought me, Jackie was teaching a camp.
Yeah.
And I'd gone through my summer of working out with kettlebells nonstop. I was 10% body fat from the big guy, 21%. So I thought I knew what I was doing, and I was pretty, cocky. I joked Natalia that, I'm going to tell the trainer that they're not ready for me today. So I get in there and I meet Jackie. She's like, "Are you ready for your first camp?" And I was like, "I don't think you're ready for me." That's what I told Jackie. And Natalia was like, "Oh God," she's cringing. She's like,
"Did Jackie's like, I got
she's
you.
Like, did Jackie. You really just say that?" But that was my mindset. I was like, "I've done so much to get to this point. Like, there's nothing you can do today that is going to be new to me." Like, I came in charged up. Like, I was amped up, and I wanted her to know it, and I wanted that attention, and it just made for a fun relationship right out of the gate.
Do you remember? I don't know if you remember the first time I pushed you on the floor. I think I was second training, and you were doing handle resistance band rows all the way over where, like, the kettlebells are right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember this. You may not remember this. I remember it. I'm like, that guy doesn't think we can break him.
Yeah. That's the way I came into it.
I came over there, and I was pushing you, and you were doing a hold, and we were doing reps, and I didn't know you were with Natalia, so she's looking over like, "What are you doing to him?" And I'm like, "Why are you looking?" Like, she's like, "That's my husband." I'm like, "Oh,
yes." Oh, I felt "Hey, listen."
But you had this look in your eye, like, "Come on, let's go." And I was like, "We're gonna push this guy as hard as we possibly can because that's what he paid for." And you just responded to it. Like, you didn't break it all. You kept going with it. But like, it's funny you said that.
It was interesting, my relationship with Chip Richardson and how he came into my life. And I didn't chase Chip Richardson. He reached out to me 16 months after I gave up alcohol.
That's cool.
Same thing with you, bro. I remembered that because a week or two into Burn, you and I were kind of like workout buddies in the beginning. Like, we just ended up kind of working out next to each other. It was that energy. Like, it was no chasing. Like, you felt my level, I felt yours, and we just had to be together. And it was that push. It was natural. And I respected it, man. I was like, gosh, I'm like, everything I'm doing is getting me what I want. I'm like, the owner of Burn Boot Camp is trying to hang with me, and we're pushing each other. Yeah. Like, I never thought that I'd be in that realm of bringing in guys like you and Chip who are just really focused and making it happen. So it just lets me know that the choices I'm making are attracting in the people that I want in my life.
Guys like you flip the script on me, because like, I'm there to motivate and inspire and challenge people. And then I get in a station and somebody flips it and like, oh, they're pushing me right now. Like, I love that. Like, I like a magnet. I find those people. And I love working with all our members, but there's some people that I get in a station with and it turns aggressive. Yeah. And not even saying it, you didn't say a word. You weren't trying to compete. I don't even think you talk trash.
No, not initially, but then
the energy went up and I was like, okay, all right. This is like what I needed today. And
yes.
I need that too. Like, I can't just go there and just hang out and just work out.
Yeah.
Like, I need that vibe, to get me to be my best. So
it's good energy.
I loved having you there. I was like, this guy's got to join.
Yes. Oh, it was no doubt, man. I mean, I'm all about it. I don't ever see myself not being a member of Burn Boot Camp. Yeah. And I know, listen, I speak for a lot of people, that I know at Burn and in the community. And we're just grateful for your gym presence, for your retail presence with Project Lean Nation. I mean, it's making a big impact. It's very positive. It's very welcoming. It's got people of all fitness levels, people of all nationalities, whatever you want to call it, man. It's a diverse group of people with one thing in common. We just want to get better. So We're grateful for you, buddy. We appreciate it. And let's see where we are next year. I mean, we've got the numbers up here on the board.
I know.
You know, we're hyper-focused.
Are we racing to 100?
So, listen, that's why I showed you my in-body. I wanted to show you my first one that I did with Kimberly, yeah, where it said 100 pounds of skeletal muscle mass.
We got to get back there.
We got to get back there.
I got to get there, too.
And we'll do it together.